Okay, now text 47. Now we're getting into the... now we're starting the... how do you say? The different varnas now. After we've described how the whole process... I mean, how the subject connects with the Supreme Lord. And then how... what is... so that gives... how the particular activities of good and bad are connected with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then he's shown what is time, because that is the activity. I mean, you need time and you need the modes to create karma. So now he will describe the modes of nature here. It means the different activities according to that. So that will start the varnas. So 87, but to protect this whole creation, the lustrous one made separate innate activities for those born of his mouth, arms, thighs, and feet. For priests, he ordained teaching and learning, sacrificing for themselves and sacrificing for others, giving in charity and receiving charity. Protecting his subjects, giving, having sacrifices performed, studying, and remaining unaddicted to the sensory objects are, in summary, for a ruler. Protecting his livestock, giving, having sacrifices performed, studying, trading, lending money, and farming the land are for the businessman. Here he calls it the commoner. The Lord assigned only one activity to a servant, serving the other classes without resentment. So here we see the priests, they can do for themselves and for others the activities. They study for themselves, they teach others, they perform their own sacrifices, they perform for others. They receive charity, they give charity. They can do both. So then, yeah, because of the detachment, because, so they can receive and give, like this. But as a little bit more attachment comes, the mode of passion comes up, then we see that for the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, that this is then restricted. It is only one way. They can give to others but not receive. Or they can have sacrifices done for themselves but not do for others. Mm-hmm. You know, like this. So it gets... And they both study, but they don't teach. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, they do half of the duties of the Brahmin. Therefore, all three of them go to the Gurukul and take the same... In other words, they all study the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the difference is after the study, only the Brahmins can perform sacrifice for others, teach others, and receive charity. Mm-hmm. And the other two then do the opposite. It means they give charity only, not receive. Mm-hmm. Like that. Then here, protecting the subjects, this is the first point, and that's the most important element that actually makes them a Kshatriya. See, because Vaishya may also be a landlord, and his business may be taking care of the people to get his tax, and his tax is his profit. Mm-hmm. But in his mind, it's business. It's just landlording business. But for the Kshatriya, it's not that. Protecting the subjects, that is his business. He takes tax so he can do that. It's very important. The Vaishya protects the people to get the tax. The Kshatriya takes the tax to protect the people. So it's just a matter of what is their goal, right? The Kshatriya, it's the protection of the people. The Vaishya, it's the tax. Right? Like you see, modern business books, then they talk about taking care of your workers, and being nice to them and encouraging them. Why? Because then they'll work harder. You'll get more profit. You know, at least 20-30% you'll get more out of them if they think you're being nice and personal with them. So they do the activities that a Kshatriya would do for getting profit. While the Kshatriya is doing those, that is the duty. And then because he's doing that, he's taking the tax so he can maintain it. You know? You know, the Vaishya is, I'm protecting you, therefore you owe me tax. You know? You know, and that's what I want. You know? But the kshatriya is because I will protect you, the tax is needed to do that. Like that. So it's a very subtle difference when you get up to that level. Very subtle difference. So that's why you see is Vaishyas can manage, because to make money means this, you have to do a lot of management. You know, manage your money, you don't lose it. Manage your supplies, manage the selling, manage all these different things. So many people are involved. So it's big management. That's why the books, they're called management books. But they're actually just how to do business. The business management. So the underlying principles of business management and ruling a country are the same. But the mood is different. Mm-hmm. The mood will be different. Is that fine point of the end of the line. You know, the Vaishya is basically using the people to get done what he wants, while the Kshatriya is engaging the people according to their nature, so they're protected and it makes everything work. Like that. So it's a slight difference. So both of them are good managers. But you'll see at the end of the day that it's the Kshatriya who can really satisfy the broad range of people, while the Vaishya can't. Right? In the area of money and those who are engaged in making the money, or it's their thing is directly that, the Vaishya can satisfy. You know, the accountants, you know, the secretaries, those who are engaged in something that's connected with generating funds, because they'll be able to work together. But outside of that, the Vaishya may find difficulty pleasing, because he'll try to bring everything into the economic development. Well, the Kshatriya, those who have economic abilities, he will engage them in that. Those who have administrative, he'll engage them in that. Those who are artists, he'll engage them in that. Just for art's sake, not to make money. The Vaishya will engage the musicians to make some money out of that. He'll get the Brahmins, okay, we'll do some yagyas, we'll make money out of that, and we'll manage this and that, and then we'll get money out of that. And so the tendency is others may not feel fully satisfied, unless they have that interest. But otherwise, they won't be satisfied. Now, the Kshatriya knows that those who are interested in economic development, they're there, and that's it. And the artists and that, they're working for art's sake, you know? That's their thing, is art, and it's sponsored. You don't use it to make money. Otherwise, then you lose. You know? Like nowadays, the art, the music, previously musicians would be playing for the deities or for the kings, and then sometimes for, you know, if they're on another lower level, then they play for, you know, the rich men, you know, and then they give something. But in other words, you are playing to please an audience, because the Shudra wants fame. So then he wants to be known as good in his talent. That satisfies him very much. So playing for the deities and for the kings, it must be according to the Shastra, because those two only work according to Shastra. And that means the art will flourish within the realm of Shastra. Right? And the Shastric aspects will be the prominent feature. But now when you drop down into the Vaishyas, or when you just play for the mass of people like public programs, then you will play for the ear. Right? Means the other, you're following the Shastra and making it pleasant. But here is, even if you cut some corners, it doesn't matter. And the emphasis is on what is fancy. Like nowadays, you'll see the musicians use so many fancy techniques and fast speed and, like, you know, very difficult things. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. But the actual Shastric side of it, even if that's not done, the mass of people don't know anyway. They wouldn't know the difference if you're playing the rag correctly or not. Mm-hmm. You know, a few music critics might point it out. Mm-hmm. But as long as the mass likes, who cares for the critics? Like that. So then everything drops. So the whole point is the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, they know how to keep everything in line with the Lord's desire. So they means practical to them means what's in line with the Shastra and what actually gets it done. Well, for the Vaishya and the Shudra, practical to them means just what gets it done. It doesn't matter if it stays in line with Shastra or not. To them, it's not practical. Because practical means the shortest point between two lines. You can, you know, take the culture, throw it out the window, take any restriction, throw it out the window. If I make profit, then... Therefore, the Kshatriyas are above the Vaishyas. Because the Vaishya has a tendency to get overwhelmed in making profit, that he may do something he shouldn't. So the Kshatriyas are there to keep them in line. It means Vaishyas work on the principle of capitalism. Like that. They're free to work within the realm of capitalism, but they can't overstep. They can't do things that are bad for the people, sell things that are bad for the people, use techniques that are bad for the people, that break the culture. So the Kshatriya, because of his power, then he keeps the Vaishyas in line. And then he takes a tax, like that. But he in no way controls their business. Mm-hmm. Businessmen know business. Only a fool would try to control the business. Like we see the communists try to control the Vaishyas. The economy collapses. The Vaishyas know best how to make money, so they're free to do that. But within, there are some restrictions, that's all. There's no such thing as nationalized business. They just don't bother. Why? You know, the government. Government is Kshatriyas and their assistants, their Shudras. Neither of them know about business. They may know economics, but the actual art of business, that's left to the Vaishyas. They're the best. So they're free to do that. But then you take in from there the, what do you call it? But they must pay tax, and they can't disturb the people. Like that. Then that works very nicely. And the Kshatriyas, because of their power, they sometimes may forget. Because of the passion. Therefore, the Brahmins are above them to remind them of the scriptures. And someone who's so powerful, power is controlled by gentleness. Right? Power is controlled. So a Brahmin who is knowledgeable, gentle, patient, unattached, you know, just gives advice and then leaves the decision to the king. That Brahmin is respected by the king. That king wants to know what that Brahmin has to say. Because he knows he's not laying any trip on him. He is not,
motivated.
He's not motivated. He's just speaking it for the good advice of the Kshatriya. So the Kshatriya kind of sees it as he respects him because of these good qualities, which he doesn't manifest to that degree. At the same time, as he also doesn't feel threatened. You know? So it works, it's very good. So if the Brahmin thinks, I said it, he has to follow it, he won't be good, he won't be respected by those Kshatriyas. Like that. This brings in a fine point. The principle of it is the same, just since this is a basis of the conversation, between husband and wife. Is the husband is the leader. He's making the decisions and all those things like that. So when the wife is giving advice, is patient, is tolerant, and all that, then that naturally then brings the power of the husband into control. In other words, you balance with these seeming, you know, how you say, opposites. The power of the Kshatriya is controlled by the gentleness of the Brahmin. So the power of the husband is controlled by the gentleness of the wife. So the gentler the wife, the more powerful the husband. The more gentle and qualified the Brahmins, the more powerful the king. Like this. So nowadays, many times the women will say, the men are so weak, that's because they're being too strong. Right? Means if you have you have a balance, to that degree you go out to one side, you go out to the other. Right? So if the men are supposed to be very powerful, you know, and you put them, you know, 1 foot off the center, to the right, and the women are very gentle, 1 foot off the center to the left. But now if the women are very strong and they come up to just within half an inch of the middle, it brings the men half an inch within the middle. Mm-hmm. Like that. It's a science. It's just the way it is. So in other words, the principles go throughout the whole thing. But you apply this principle on the government. And then you get the Brahmas and the Kshatriyas. You apply it in the house, you have husband and wife. You apply it in the school, you have the teacher and the student. You know? Like that. You always have, it's the same dynamics. Mm-hmm. Like that. Is the better the student, the better the teacher will perform. You know? Like that. It means the teacher has his knowledge, but he will only reveal that knowledge depending on the quality of the student. Mm-hmm. You know? This husband can do so many things, but depending upon the quality of the wife, he may do. Like we see Kardama Muni. He's very qualified, very good, I mean, very perfect example of Upakurvana Brahmachari. He did his tapasya, he studied and all this, but he knew his purpose is he must qualify himself to be a good grihastha. And he approached the Lord for getting a good wife. So now, and his wife was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. So, naturally very qualified. And we see that he was very careful and the daughter was well protected. The husband, the Swayambhuva himself came with his daughter and his wife to see Kardama. He himself is qualified to work out the details of the marriage. But just to see the satisfaction of the wife and the daughter and to see that they are, you know, not having to do it on their own, he is taking them. And doing. So this way the emotional platform is very nicely developed. So therefore the daughter will take on the quality of the father. We see how much care is there in performance of his duties of the father. Therefore you can expect the same quality out of the daughter. Right? So now, even after this highly qualified arrangement, you know, it's probably one of the best arrangements you see in the Bhagavatam. You know, then still he tests his wife for 9 months to see that those qualities of gentleness, service and everything are in place. Right? Then when he sees that, then he starts to manifest what he can do. Mm-hmm. You know, his flying palace and like this and, you know, so many different things. But he doesn't manifest that before, because if she's not qualified, why he'll make all that arrangement? An unqualified wife gets minimal facility, you know? And an unqualified wife will create an unqualified son, because the son takes on the qualities of the mother. So if the mother is not detached, humble, you know, controlled senses, good service attitude, religious, the son's not going to have those qualities. So therefore the husband was going through this and testing to bring these qualities out, and you see that Devahuti manifests them perfectly. So therefore then she was qualified to have the Supreme Lord as a son. Right? So it's a science. It means the sentiment is half, but the prescribed duties is the other half. Let's say, no, I can't say that. Let us say the philosophy. You have the philosophy, you have the emotional platform, you have the prescribed duties. So when the philosophy is in place, the prescribed duties are in place properly, then the emotional platform is actually experienced and tasted. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, most people feel that they're experiencing the emotional platform, but they're actually not. There's many people today that don't actually know what is the emotional platform. They feel some sub-emotions, you know, just hormones or some anger or this or that, which are emotions. But they're not based coming from prescribed duties. They're just coming from the uncontrolled mind. So the quality of the emotions is very low. But when it's come from the controlled mind, by prescribed duties, then what is tasted on the emotional platform is actually very high. Mm. You know? Very high. Mm. Like that. Okay, then we see protecting his livestock. Okay, so then here, protecting his subjects, giving, which means charity. Means he has to give in charity. He's taking so much tax, but that's for use for the people and for giving in charity. Like this, that he must give in charity, because the Brahmins must be maintained, Shudras that work for him must be maintained, you know, and now and again he just gives to everybody, he even gives back to the Vaishyas, you know, and gives in charity to other Kshatriyas, you know, those who are less than him, you know, gives them, you know, more land or more facility or more this, or even gives wealth, you know, like this. In other words, they're seen very, because the father gives. The king is seen as the father. So he must give to his the subjects. Like this. So depending upon the position, but not waste, because Gita says you have to give to a qualified person at the right time. So like that. Then, having sacrifices performed, he must always be engaged in yajna, always engaged in transcendental activities. He can't be just doing something just for Hare Krishna. He can't be doing something just for himself. He must be working for the higher principles, like that. In other words, he must be trying to situate himself more and more in goodness. Because kshatriya means combination of passion and goodness. Predominantly passion. Some goodness is there, the Shastric side. So he must always be trying to increase that. Because otherwise the tendency is passion then will go down.